promises of Christ, my King. Through eternal ages, let his praises ring. Glory in the highest, I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, oh, I'm standing, standing, standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises that cannot fail. When the howling storms of doubt or fear assail, by the living word of God I shall prevail. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing, I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises I now can see. Perfect present cleansing for the blood for me. Standing in the liberty where Christ makes free. I'm standing on the promises of God. Oh, I'm standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God, my Savior. Standing, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of Christ the Lord. Bound to him,
yes,
eternally,
standing
by love
on strong his promises.
Lord.
There's nowhere else I want to stand but right on those promises. The Word of God. Today, we have got an excellent broadcast. We're going to deal with the triune devil. I've never heard that term before. I've never heard anybody use it. I did find the term triad devil and triron devil, but I now want to introduce to you the false trinity. I've dealt with this often through the years, and I know that people do not grasp quite what is involved when you're dealing with the triune devil. You're dealing with a false God, a false Christ, and a false spirit. A false God, a false Christ, and a false spirit. And I'm telling you, it is overwhelming when you search the Bible and find this false trinity that is coming upon our world. You talk about something that proves the trinity of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, and devastates that old doctrine of the Jesus only. I tell you, this great truth really does lay it in the shade. The triune devil. Now remember those words. The triune devil. I hope I can get preachers, ministers, to start preaching to their congregation and warning them of this trinity of Satan, this trinity of the devil. Now, we will go to the book of Revelation 13, and I will show you the entrance of Satan being literally moved down to the earth, where he will be earthbound for 7 years. And then I'll show you Revelation 13, verse 1, where an antichrist arises out of the Middle East. An antichrist, that second member of the triune devil. And then I will show you Revelation 13 and 11, the triune spirit, the triune false spirit. And so you'll have a devil and a false Christ and a false spirit, a false God, a false devil, and a false spirit. And that is what will be mightily present upon this earth immediately after the rapture. Now, we say immediately. We know there's hours, there's days. We don't know exactly how God will allow this to move into being, but we know it's all coming. And we're going to have on this earth, when the rapture of the Christ and the church is over, the rapture of the Lord Jesus and the saints of God to heaven, we know when that is finished and done, that there will be this false devil, this false trinity, this triune devil. Isn't that amazing? This triune devil. Three members of the devil's inner circle that will work damage and darkness over the whole of this universe. Now, let me take you and go to the book of Revelation, chapter 12, and I will first show you the very evidence, I mean, the absolute fact of this hour. It is at hand. It is so near until it's really overwhelming. It is so near until it's really overwhelming. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought, that's the devil, and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was there place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. Notice what he comes to do. He's already doing it, but he comes to finalize the picture. Deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. Now, we'll deal with that more, but I want to give you the setting. Now, you go to chapter 13 and verse 1, chapter 13, verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. That's the Mediterranean Sea, having 7 heads and 10 horns, and upon his horns 10 crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. That's the second member of the triune devil. The second member of the triune devil. And then you go to chapter 12, same chapter, verse 11. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. Another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had 2 horns like a lamb. And he spake as a dragon. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, and caused the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. Now here you have the triune devil. Here you have the triune devil. Hey, you ought to call a bunch of friends and get them to listen. And if you're on Facebook, you ought to hit that little share button. Quickly do that and share this, because I probably have never done a program that is more breathtaking and more biblically relevant than this program. We are showing people what is about to happen on this old globe of ours. We're showing people what is about to take place. We know the truth about the triune God. But now revealed to the world is a triune devil. And this triune devil is going to do everything in his power to take the place of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. And he's going to be remarkably successful. He's going to be remarkably successful. And the things that he will accomplish, oh, I don't know why this throat's messing up, but the things he will accomplish will be quite overwhelming. Really overwhelming. And there will be a triune devil, and he will literally deceive a majority of the population that's left on this earth. He will deceive them by the millions. He will deceive them by the millions. And the devil will finally accomplish a little bit of what he's always longed to do, and that is have the worship of the world. And he wants his Christ to have the worship of the messianic idea. And he wants his second beast to have the worship of those who believe in the Holy Spirit and who have great confidence in the power of the Holy Spirit. And so there will be a complete imitation of God, a complete imitation of Christ, and a complete imitation of the Holy Spirit. And this world will fall at his feet. This world will fall at his feet. Now, you got to hear me when I say that. This world will fall at his feet. And this imitation trinity, this false trinity, this devil trinity, this triune devil, you got those words? This triune devil will harness the worship of the world, and the world will become a wilderness. It will be a hellish place. And if you've got any wisdom at all, you really don't want to be here. And I beg of you not to be here. Now, let's talk a little bit, and let's try to understand Satan. Do you really understand Satan? Did you know he is a master imitator? A master imitator. The real character of the devil is an imitation. The real character of the devil is an imitation. What does he imitate? He only imitates God. He only imitates God, for he was once with God. He once, you know, we believe, did the music for heaven and probably did the music for the Garden of Eden in its early days. He was a marvelous creation of the Heavenly Father. He was Lucifer, the fallen angel, or became the fallen angel. But he was first a singing masterpiece. A singing masterpiece. Music can be the most deceiving thing on the face of God's earth. And it looks like when people get caught up in being great with music, they have a hard time being great with anything else. It just seems to master them. And that becomes almost all they want to do. And we got to understand that this triune devil is going to be something of a masterpiece, really. A masterpiece, but a created imitation of the great God Jehovah, the great God Christ, and the great God the Holy Spirit, the triune devil. Are you getting the picture? And he is an imitator. The devil does not have any kind of initial incentives or abilities. He can only imitate. The devil can create nothing. He can only imitate what God has created. Everything you can think about the devil and say about the devil is an imitation. He is an imitation. He has no capacity to be original in any creation. None at all. Not any. Everything he does is an imitation. His music is an imitation. His words are an imitation. The thing he does in human hearts are an imitation. The deceptive way he uses religion is nothing but an imitation. The deceptive way he uses everything he uses is an imitation. And so people fall into the trap because they aren't acquainted with the Bible. They don't know the truths of the Holy Scripture. They don't live in the Bible. They live in society and sociology and human thinking. And they become all immersed in that. And they do not just really promote the Bible. It says that newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. Notice that now, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. You can never understand the devil if you don't understand the Bible. Now that's I don't remember ever saying that before, but it come out without thinking almost. You can never understand the devil if you don't understand the Bible, because he's an imitation of what's in the Bible. He's an imitation of it. Now, you've got to understand the Bible from a spiritual viewpoint and from a revelation viewpoint, from a holy viewpoint, and not just theology you learn in a seminary. The worst thing we got in America is a bunch of preachers trained in nothing but the seminary ideas and theology, so to speak, from a seminary mindset. And so they understand almost nothing of the true God and the true reality of God. An education in the Bible without a relationship with Christ is almost dangerous. A revelation in the Bible without a relationship with Jesus Christ is dangerous, because you don't understand and you try to figure it all out with your human thinking, and it becomes a maze of all kinds of theologies. That's why we got multiplicity of doctrines today, is because you have religious people without an understanding of the Bible. Unsaved people without a viewpoint of the Bible. You have preachers in the pulpits and preachers in the seminaries and preachers in all kinds of religious settings. And they understand they understand maybe a little bit of just the cold words of the Bible, but they don't understand the the spiritual form of the Bible. I don't know why my throat's acting like it is. Didn't know it till I got on the radio. But it'll be okay. I'll make it. I'm a dedicated man. I stay with it regardless. So I'm here to tell you that you need to understand the Bible, but you need to know it from a spiritual viewpoint. You need to have a relationship with the saving blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. I mean, when you have a relationship with Jesus Christ through the saving blood of Jesus Christ, the Bible comes alive. The reason people like these new versions is because they haven't been born again. If they would get born again, they would sense the emptiness of these new versions and the confusion of these new versions, and they'd start longing for the Bible in a revelational form and a revelational mindset. And then the Bible would come alive, and they would begin to grasp the Scripture. And that's good stuff, I'm saying. I hope somebody's listening. I really do. I really do. So everything the devil does, he does to make it look like the Bible, but not in essence the Bible. He does it to imitate the Bible, but not in essence the Holy Scripture. Everything he does, I mean, it all is an imitation. And that's why we now come to the end of our age and the time of the coming of the Lord, and we're seeing the devil produce a false trinity, a unholy trinity, a triune devil. I'm having trouble saying that myself because it's new in my mind, but the Holy Spirit laid it on my heart. Now, his greatest deception is in this imitation of the Trinity. I mean, if the devil has ever produced his masterpiece, this is his masterpiece, imitating the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. But he's all wet, I'm telling you. He's all off the beam. He is a master imitator. He is a master imitator. Now, Satan himself presenting himself that he's God, his Antichrist presenting himself that he's the Christ, and then his false prophet presenting himself that he is the Spirit. And so you have the devil, and you have the false Christ, false devil, false God, false devil, and you have a false Christ and a false spirit. And this is coming on our world in such big fashion. Now, really, do you know what the Pope said? Do you know what the Pope said? And I saw it yesterday. It appeared to have been yesterday that he said it, or maybe it was day before yesterday. He said, and I want to read it here, he said that world government must rule the USA for their own good. World government must rule the USA for their own good. Now, I'm going to show you in a minute that the Catholic Church is unquestionably, intimately involved in this one world religion of this false prophet, of this false Antichrist. I'm here to tell you, they are intimately involved. Don't you doubt me. I'm not trying to put them down. There's wonderful people that are deceived in this theology. There is no question. There are dedicated Americans, good men and women in many different circles of life who believe that, but as false as it can be, it is absolutely false. Nothing but the blood. Nothing but the blood. And you don't need to take this so-called communion they take as your means of salvation, because it's false. You do not eat his flesh and drink his blood. I'm here to tell you. And nothing can be turned into the flesh of Christ and the blood of Christ. And that's so important for you to remember. Now, remember what I said. The Pope said this yesterday. It was reported big time in the news that he said that America has got to embrace the one world government. For our own good. He means that from his perspective, not from my and your understanding. Now, I want us to proceed, and I want to try our best for us to understand what we're dealing with. Let's go first to Revelation now. You got to get your Bible and get with me. Revelation chapter 12 is the first scriptures we must understand how the old dragon is cast out of heaven. Now, I know we've been dealing with the devil. We've been dealing with these whole things, and now we're kind of bringing this to a conclusion. The Lord willing, I'm starting next Saturday on the millennial reign. The millennial reign. But we got to get past this 7 years of the great tribulation. 7 years of the great tribulation. For this triune devil rules and reigns during the 7 years of the tribulation. So you got to understand the 7-year tribulation and the triune devil fit together. They are part and lot of each other. It is during those 7 years that Satan does his darkest and most damning work of all human history. Now, I'm saying a lot of things, so I want to open up here and make sure you have my phone number, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And then the toll-free number, 1-800-338-7884. Now, I'm going to put it up just a moment. Write it down, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. You got it? Write it down quickly, 1-800-338-7884. Now, I want you to call because there's so much here that really needs to be discussed deeply. And so I need you to come up with the question that you would be intrigued by an answer for, because you don't know how many other people will surely probably be thinking the same question that you are thinking, okay? So very, very important. I want to hear from you, and I want you involved in asking your question that I can somehow really reach the multitude of people to understand this triune devil, this devil trinity. You got me? Are you hearing me? Well, it's very, very important. Well, first, you can't have this trinity of the devil if you don't have the devil not up in heaven, not, you know, in the midair where he's been reigning for thousands of years. He's the prince of the power of the air, the Bible says. But he's got to be cast down to the earth, so he becomes an earthbound creature. He becomes perfectly and completely earthbound. He can never go before God's throne again. He can never go up into heavens again and move about in the stratosphere. He is limited to the earth, and then he will be cast into the bottomless pit, and then he will be cast into hell. So it's been an odyssey for Satan. He started out in heaven, the great wise Lucifer. He was cast out of heaven into the midair. Now he's going to be cast from the midair to the earth, and then from the earth to the bottomless pit, and from the bottomless pit to the lake of fire. So he's on his way out. He's on his way down. And don't you forget it now. And there was war in heaven. Now, when the rapture takes place, and I believe all of this happens simultaneously with the rapture, as the rapture is taking place, the heavens becomes a place of great warfare. You must understand that we go up through the heavens when the rapture takes place. Christ comes down into the clouds. There's a trumpet that sounds and wakes up, the dead of the world, and of course, gets the attention of the whole world, I believe, and the saints of God arise, some from the grave and some from their presence, living quarters on the earth. And we together ascend. Now, we go up through what we now know as the second heavens. We go up through the second heavens where Satan now reigns as the prince of the power of the air. Now, you talk about a war. The angels of God are clearly involved in the rapture. Many people don't realize this, but the angels of God are clearly involved with the rapture, because we go through a warfare. We go through a heaven that is just filled with these demon spirits that are determined to stop the rapture. The whole effort up there is to stop the rapture, but the angels are there to progress us right through that hellish place and right on to the presence of God. And while we are going up to inherit the presence of God, the devil and the false angels and all of his angels are involved in this war. They're all cast down to the earth. So we take the place of Satan in the midair, right up through the midair. The devil is cast down, and he comes down, the Bible says, with great wrath, knowing he hath but a short season. There was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought, and the dragon and his angels fought, and prevailed not. That's the dragon. The devil's angels prevailed not, neither was their place found in heaven anymore. neither was their place found any more in heaven. I like that. I can't wait till the old devil cannot touch the heavens. They are set free of him, and he's cast down to the earth. Prevail not, and there was no place found for him. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent. Now, you've got to understand this. I don't think most people grab it. I'm trying to get you to get it. So we're talking about this triune devil. This triune devil, this false devil, this false Christ, and this false spirit. And the first of this is the devil cast out and cast down to the earth. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan. You have any wonder who it is? He names three names here. The serpent, the devil, and Satan, all right in the scripture. Right in the scripture, that's verse 9 of Revelation 12, okay? Which deceiveth the whole world. Which deceiveth the whole world. You got to understand, the devil is out for the world. He's out to deceive the whole world. He's out to make the whole world his quarters. Deceive the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels was cast out with him. And his angels was cast out with him. And I need to read the next verse. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of our Christ and the power of his Christ, the power of our God, the power of his Christ. The accuser of the brethren is cast down, which accused them before God day and night. Right now, the devil is accusing us before God. He accuses me. I must have more devils after my hide than you can imagine, because I'm a lightning rod for these great truths, and I'm trying my best to teach them. And I know I'm bringing them to you from a biblical fashion, which means I think they're being effective. I don't know who's being touched and who's being changed, but I know it's high time you were touched and high time that you were changed. Now, the devil first, he comes down, he's cast out, he's limited, he can't go up through the stratosphere anymore, he can't appear before God, he's limited to the earth, and so he starts his warfare. And the very first thing he does is he's got to have his Christ. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having 10 horns and 10 crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and he had feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth was the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him great power. Notice, the dragon gave him great power. Did you notice that? The dragon, that's absolutely verse 2 of Revelation 13, and the dragon, the devil, gave the false Christ great power. See, I'm told you, it's a triune devil. It's a triune devil, and the devil gives this great power to his first member of his Trinity. I call it the devil and two stooges. The devil and two stooges, and that's not a bad name for them, I promise you, because they give themselves to the devil, and he gives them great power. And maybe just a little bit of that. And the beast which I saw was like a leopard, and I saw one of his let's go back to verse 2. Like a leopard, his feet was like the feet of a bear, his mouth is the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. Now notice that. You got to see what I'm saying. I'm talking about the devil's trinity. The devil's trinity, the triune devil. And I showed you that the Bible says the dragon gave this first member of his trinity great power and his seat and his great authority. So the devil puts the Antichrist in this position now over the world. He has a seat, a political seat. He has great power. And he has great authority. And he begins the reign of terror. He begins the reign of hell on earth. I mean, he has got to get everybody worshiping him. He's the new Christ. I'm telling you, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. And the devil, oh, he's always been this prideful creature. And if you're prideful, you better watch it, friend. You better turn from pride, because human pride is a human fallacy and a human bankruptcy and a human failure. It really is. Jesus. We are nothing without God. We are nothing without God. More and more at my age, I understand God must have all the glory. My Christ must have all the praise. And the sweet Holy Spirit must have all of my respect. Because the true Trinity is alive and well. And the false Trinity is just a short little period of 7 years. And so here the Antichrist is given his seat, given his authority and great power. And they worship the dragon. Now notice this. And they worship the dragon. Now I must read you verse 3. And I saw one of his heads as it was wounded to death. One of his heads as it was wounded to death. Notice that, to death. And his deadly wound was healed, and all the world worshiped after him. Now, here's the Antichrist, this second member of the triune devil, and he has this death injury, and he kills him. And he's dead, but then he's resurrected. And as he is resurrected and comes back into life, and it's all paranormal, it's all the work of Satan. Satan can't do supernatural things. He only does paranormal things. But this old Antichrist is given a crucifixion-like experience. Now, I don't know exactly how that experience will be, but it will be meant to be an imitation of the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. It will be purposed to get the world worshiping this false Christ like we that love Christ and glory in the cross, worship our Christ and our wonderful Savior. And so here's an experience of this triune devil, the second member, and he's given this crucifixion-like experience. Doesn't name the exact way he dies, just says a deadly wound, and then he is brought back to life. And boy, when he gets brought back to life, and there was given him now a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies and power, and was given to him, and he continued 42 months. Now, we're at the middle of the tribulation. This is the last half. And the devil now has such power, and his Antichrist has such authority, and now great evil is breaking forth upon the earth, and the devil is really doing his stuff. Now, so the time don't get away from me. Again, I wish you would call. I would love for you to call. I'm always getting calls during radio programs. I don't know why I get calls during the radio program, but they, I guess they'll learn one of these days I'm on the radio from 1 to 2 every Saturday, and they've all hung up now. I always cut it on, let them hear me, so that they get bothered a little bit, that they forget such an important thing. I mean, this is important to me. I'm trying my best to win the world to Christ. I'm trying to see you get ready for Jesus to come. You better get your garment washed, friend. Get your garment washed in the pure blood and the marvelous grace of our Christ. And get ready for the King, for He's coming. Now, let me take you. You have the devil cast out of heaven, comes down to the earth. He's the head of this false trinity. And then he produces a Christ, an imitation Christ, who is actually killed and then raised back from the dead. And now all the world wonders after him. I mean, the world goes bonker over him. The world goes crazy over him. Now let's go on in Revelation 13, the verse 11. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb. You ever heard of a lamb having horns? This is an imitation of purity, an imitation of a lamb-like spirit. This is because it's the false anointing. It's an imitation of the true, beautiful ministry of the Holy Spirit. It's an imitation of the marvel of Christ through the Holy Ghost, moving upon His church, moving upon His saints, and making Himself real and making Himself known to His saints. And he exercised all the power of the first beast. So he's given power just like the first beast. Now remember, the devil gave the first beast his power. And now this beast has a power like the first, which means it also comes from the devil. Got me? Before him. And causeth the earth and them that worship therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. So the Holy Spirit now, the false spirit. Let me get this straight now. Not the Holy Spirit. The false spirit. The false third member of the triune devil is going to do the same thing for the Antichrist that the Holy Spirit has done for Jesus Christ. Notice the imitation. So this false spirit is causing the world to worship the second member of Satan's Trinity, causing the world to worship the false Christ, the Antichrist. And so there's a moving of the Spirit right now all over our world that is a false anointing. I mean, it is overwhelming. Many Pentecostal churches are no more Pentecostal than a man in the moon. They are not a thing, but a false church with a false spirit. Much of the music, the rock music in Pentecostal churches is from the devil. And their worship is nothing but a bunch of noise. And it's all so deceiving and deceptive. And the people who go after this charismatic move, and I call it charismatic because they represented this. The people who go after that, they have no commitment to purity. They have no commitment to holiness. That they hate holiness. The word holiness is a word that they despise because they have a false spirit. The true Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit. And what he promotes is holy. And the false spirit is a devilish spirit. And what he promotes is the devil. Now, are you getting my picture? I mean, this is so biblical, and you can see it as clear as the Bible is written in plain language. All you got to do is read chapter 12 and chapter 13. You have the devil and all about him in chapter 12, and you have the Antichrist and the false spirit, all about those two members of the devil's trinity in chapter 13. And so you have chapter 12 and chapter 13. Now, time is going to go before me fast. And I hope you understand. I ought to give you just a minute of this third member of the triune devil, okay? The triune devil. Are you getting my picture? The triune devil, the false devil, the false trinity, coming to deceive the world. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He doeth great wonders. He doeth great things, and they're not supernatural. They are imitations. They are imitations. They are absolutely not the real. They're the false. Well, you can see that. He deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power, in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. Now you've heard of the great demonstration of this false spirit in the temple in Jerusalem. They call it the great spirit of deception. The great spirit of deception. And so this Antichrist is going to have an image like him, and that comes alive. I mean, the image is going to be made to take life on. Well, they're making this today anyway. He had power to give life unto the image. Notice the Antichrist, the anti-spirit, I should say, had power to give life to the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. Now, that false spirit is going to have diabolical power all over the universe, and he's going to make as many as will not worship the Antichrist and the devil to be killed. It's going to be slaughter like you've never heard of slaughter in your life. People will die when anybody with any biblical sense sees this image of the false Christ. Multitudes are going to get saved, and I'm happy for that. Multitudes are going to get saved. Because when they see this image of the false Christ, they may have heard me on the radio or heard Tim LaHaye or some of the other good preachers who've been preaching. I know Tim's with the Lord now, but they've heard this. It's been multiplied, millions of books written about this late great planet Earth. That was one of the earliest, 40 years ago. And we're talking about things that everybody in America has a little grasp of, not a whole lot in the new millennium. Don't know beans about it. bless their hearts. I'm so sad for them. I'm literally sad for them because they're so ignorant of this that I'm talking about today. But you can see it, and it's so evident. Let me read a little more. And he causeth all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their forehead. So this is the mark of the Antichrist. And this will come now, the middle of the tribulation, and this will come on the whole world, not just a little bit of the world, not just the Middle East, as some would try to tell you. The Bible makes it plain, he will deceive the whole world. Now, it says this several times right here, so you don't have to question it. Don't listen to anybody that changes anything the Bible says, because they're just wrong. That's just simply it. The Bible is pure, and the Bible is right, and the Bible is holy. He causeth all that by, and that no man might have, buy or sell. No man might buy or sell, save he have the mark of the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Nobody can buy or sell. No gas, no groceries at the grocery store. If your children are with you and you're trying to feed them, you won't be able if you don't go take the mark. You say they won't be here. That's a false a thing that people have taught that isn't so. Every unsaved child, I should say every child without a saved parent will be left here. Only children with saved parents. At least one member of the parents must be saved to sanctify the children so they can go in the rapture. So if you are not saved, your children are going to be left here with you. And that's going to be the saddest time of your life, when you realize you're going to feed your children and you can't feed them if you don't take the mark. Are you getting the message? Are you getting the message? Now, please, if you don't understand that, call me. I'll give you scripture. I don't believe nothing that's not scripturally right. I believe the Bible is pure and perfect. The Bible is the infallible Word of God. Now, I'm telling you, there's a lot of people grabbing this today. There's a lot of people listening to me, and God's getting a hold of your heart. God has got to be getting a hold of your heart. And I cry out to you. Call and ask me any question. Now, I got 22 minutes, and I want to answer every question that's out there these last minutes. I got time to do it if you'll call quickly. 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. There they are again. Write them down. They won't be there long, and I want to hear from you. I want to help you. I want you to get saved. If you're not washed in the blood, if you're not washed in the blood and made pure and holy, the blood will make you pure, and the blood will make you holy. The blood will put in you a love for the things of God, a love for the Bible, a love for truth, and you'll start digging in this book of Revelation. You can get my good book on the Revelation. I mean, it's a very good book in many homes, and we'd love for you to have it. And I'm telling you, friend, we are so near the coming of the Lord that I don't know anything to do but tell you and warn you, get yourself right with God. Now, you can see what I've done. I've laid you out for you this trinity of Satan. I've made it as plain as I can make it. It's right there in the Bible. It's not fantasy. It's the absolute truth. First, the devil is cast out of heaven. Then he raises up his Antichrist and gives him great power. Then he raises up his false spirit and gives him great power. And now they're invading the world. They're making people take the mark of this beast, the Antichrist, this beast, this dark, evil character. And it's a dark moment. I mean, a hellish moment. And people are dying like flies who refuse the mark. And it's going to be an unreal time. And I want you to get ready to meet the Lord. Now grab your phone, 704. I'm really almost demanding that you get on the phone with me and let's try to help people with some good questions. Now, I think I've made it pretty plain. I've done my best, and I've taken you scripture by scripture. Now, what you got to understand is all of this will come to a conclusion as the 7 years begin to end. I'm overwhelmed what happens to that. The first thing that happens is that false religious crowd really get destroyed. You see, the devil will use religion to the hilt, and then he will do his best to cast it out. I mean, he does that. That's always been his trick. He'll use religious people to accomplish anything he can accomplish, and then he'll come against your religion, and he'll destroy it if it possible that he can. And after this, I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open. And the seven angels came out of the temple, having seven plagues, clothed in fine linen and white, pure and white linen, and having the breasts girded with golden girdles. And it goes on to tell how the temple was filled with the glory of God. All of what's going to happen at that end of those 7 years, it is so overwhelming. It really is. And the beast thou sawest was and is not and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit. That's that third creature. Shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they behold the beast that was and is not. See, this beast, notice again, that imitation of Christ and of the Holy Spirit, was and is not. Those are terms for the divine. But here Satan is taking those terms upon himself and upon his members of his false trinity, and he's deceiving the world with all of this. Now, I want you to notice that the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, they shall hate the whore. This is the false religious crowd. Now, I want to make sure you understand that this false spirit is religious to the hilt. It is the religious phase of the devil's one world order. The religious phase. Its headquarters is in Rome, the city of seven hills. No doubt about it, right? Clear in the Bible. Let me read you a little more here. You got to hear this. And the 10 horns which thou sawest upon the beast, these shall hate the whore, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh, and burn her with fire. I'm telling you, she is going to be burned with fire. She is going to be burned with fire. It's coming. It's overwhelming to read these wonderful things. And the word of God's going to be fulfilled. It's going to be completely fulfilled. Cannot fail. And that hour is upon us. Now, you know that the city of Babylon will be the headquarters of the Antichrist kingdom. That's the second member of this trinity. It's false trinity. And Babylon will be the headquarters. It's already been discovered to some great degree. We don't know what's going on over there now, but at some point it's going to be rebuilt. But it's going to be destroyed. God is going to destroy it. Now, when God destroys it, then that whole crowd goes after Rome, and they destroy Rome and burn that city to the ground. And this is pure, the Bible says it, and the Catholic Church have had its own prophets who have prophesied these things and said they would happen, and they almost named the present Pope in their past history of words and descriptions, and nobody can doubt that he is the man. I don't think there's a question that the Pope is the Pope that will help bring in the New World Order and the Antichrist kingdom and the 7-year tribulation period. But all of that will be destroyed. And that's when the old Antichrist marches on Megiddo, ready to march on Jerusalem, because he'll be angry. You're talking about an angry character. That old Antichrist plus his devil, the very prince of darkness, and they will be angry once the city of Babylon is destroyed. It will be incredible. It really will. Then Rome will be destroyed, and then they will get ready to march on Jerusalem. And that's when the battle of Armageddon occurred. See, all of this is getting ready for the battle of Armageddon. All of this is getting ready for the battle of Armageddon. You've got to see that and understand it. It is so wonderful. Let me read this. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the keys of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. Here's an angel, a great angel from heaven. He's got the key to that bottomless pit down under hell. It's not hell. It's under hell. It's part of hell, but it's the bottom of hell. It's the very darkest, the very most depressive, the most damnable place on the in all the great universe of God. And so this great angel comes down from heaven with a chain, and he opens up that bottomless pit, and he laid hold on the dragon. Oh, man, I'll be up there, but I want to watch it. And I would suggest that all of heaven will be watching. I don't think there'll be an eye in heaven that's not turned on the earth when this begins to occur. And from the heavenly advantage, we will watch the great angel that God has just sent down. And we can talk about who is that angel. Let's just take what he does and understand. And he takes hold of that devil and he casts him into the bottomless pit. And he's going to be bound there 1,000 years while we come and have the millennial reign on the earth during that same 1,000 years. I can't wait to get to that next week because it gets a little more excited. Not much excited about this, but the end results. That's, you know, it's dark stuff, but it's true stuff. And it's got to happen to finish everything. I mean, this finalizes the picture. This brings us to the great hour, the great and marvelous hour. And Jesus is coming. Are you aware of that? Are you aware that we're at the door of his appearing? We're at the door of his coming. I know I'm talking so much you don't want to call it and interrupt maybe, but I do want to help you. And if you got a question, let's answer it. Let's get it on the table. Let's try to figure out what's taking place because it will help you understand. And maybe you're just one of those that you studied this long ago and you just want to praise God with me a minute. Let's take a few calls and just praise God. Tell me how you learned this. Tell me who was the preacher that taught it to you. I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear the name of some of those preachers. That one's by the name of Britt. I can't remember his first name. I didn't hear him but one time, I think. George Britt, is that right? And he was a great prophecy teacher in the Church of God. Wonderful prophecy teacher. And there was others that were very good. And I remember everything I know today. I started receiving my teaching in the Church of God in about 1952, 53, 54, after I was converted, and I was always thrilled to hear this. I would sit and dig and read and study. And there's a book that everybody ought to have called The Apocalypse. The Apocrypha, I think's right. The Apocrypha. And it was written by a Lutheran, Joseph E. Seiss. I like his first name, Joseph. Joseph E. Seiss, S-E-I-S-S. And we have it in our library, our bookstore. You can purchase it here. It's a huge book. It's like a college education. It's a huge book. And I read it, and I loved it, and I dug in it, and I wrote. I mean, I just did all kinds of things to get it in my head and in my heart because I wanted to warn you. I want to warn the world where we are and what we're dealing with and how close we are to that glorious appearing of the great God. Now, I'm going to do something in the morning. I'm really excited about this. I'm going to preach a sermon on a subject that I've never preached on. I love the thought, when we see his face, when we see the Father's face, when we see the Father's face, did you know the Bible said no man has seen God? No man has seen God, and we've seen Christ, the representative of God. We've seen a Christ who he says himself that to see him is to see the Father because of the similarity of the two. I mean, a wonderful picture of the Christ who is just like his Father. But we're going to see the Father himself, the actual Father, the God of the universe. Oh, the God of all mind and all thought and all truth, the God who is eternal. Hallelujah. And I've been reading about him and studying about my Father, and I can't wait to see his face. Remember Moses, when he climbed the mountain, he said, I want to see your face, God. And God finally said, Moses, you can't see my face. I'll put you in the cleft of that rock. Now, you notice that word cleft. That means that was a type of the crucifixion. I'll put you in the cleft of the rock. I'll hide you in my Christ. And when I have passed by, you can see my afterglory. I actually called it hinder part. But he's talking about his afterglory. The beauty of God in the afterglory. If I can just see that now, then I look forward to seeing him personally in the very near future. What a day. What an hour that is going to be. Now, this booklet is free. And I give it to everybody. And it's everything that I've said here today, plus more, I'm telling you. More than I've said, and I've said more than what's in here, so the two together, and we'll make a whole. But you can get this, who is the Antichrist? Satan and his two stooges. Plus, I'm going to put it at the front of that, because I like this term, the triune devil. The triune devil. The devil in his false trinity and the evil that he's going to create is absolutely beyond measure. Now, I want to do something while I'm waiting on your calls. I want to spend a moment in prayer. All over the radio land, all in the other countries, all in Africa, don't matter, where Australia, wherever you are, I want us to stop and pray. You know, the church world is in a fiasco. It is a mess. And there is so few that are prayer warriors on their face. This church has set 6 o'clock in the morning to pray and seek the face of God. And usually there's one, two, three. Some are here at least a couple of hours, sometimes three, just crying out and praying for Holy Ghost revival. And I'm telling you, it is coming. There's going to be a sovereign visitation of the presence of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. There's going to be, and God is going to reveal himself. The Bible said he will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath before the great and notable day of the Lord's come. That's Acts 2:18-19. Read several verses along there. Acts 2:18-19. The great words of Peter preaching on the day of Pentecost and saying that God is going to show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath. I'm praying for those signs. I can't wait for the first one that startles everybody. I mean, that people begin to say, man, there's no way somebody could do that. That has to be God. That when God begins to show signs, there won't be no way to imitate him. Because the mighty acts of God are so descriptive and powerful and transforming, you will never get over it. And there will be an anointing to it. There will be a Holy Ghost anointing that makes the heart to tremble, that makes a sinner absolutely see their sins, that makes the sinners begin to tremble. And like in all the great revivals of the past, sinners would fall on their face and begin to weep and sob over their sins. And it was so overwhelming. I read of one revival, Duncan Campbell was there preaching, and it came to this little island, and while they're having revival, the police station calls and said, we got people down here in the yard of the police station on their faces, and they're crying for mercy. Send us somebody down here to pray for us. And people all over that place began to get saved, and that's going to happen again. That's going to happen again. It's happened in America before, and it's going to happen. And I'm here to tell you, you better get ready to be part of it. You say, why has it happened to y'all? Because God's time is not here. We're waiting right now on God's moment and God's time. God's not ever late, and God's had to get people ready. He's had to move us to a prayer mode that I've never known before in my life. I mean, I was on my face and loving every minute of it, and the time just flies because we're waiting on God to reveal himself. All of this is going to happen. And see, we're getting ready for the end. Everything I've given to you is on the verge. It is so ready. It is so prepared that the rapture could take place in the next 2 minutes, the next 1 minute, and we could be gone. And then during that 7 years will really be revelations of God. Two prophets preaching all over the earth, and they can't kill them. And when they finally do kill them, God resurrects them, and the world watches them go up in a glorious rapture form right up into the heavens because God raises them from the dead. You, my friend, you've never heard of such is about to happen, such signs and such wonders. And you say, Reverend Chambers, are you going to die before then? I don't know. I hope not. I want to see it. I want to see it more than I want to live. I want to see the mighty hand of God. I want to see the breath of his holiness and the might of his power. I'd like for somebody to go up there and come back and describe the great paradise for us, to understand what we're on our way to, what we're going to see when we arrive home. I mean, that's home. That's the long home. This is short home. That's long home. We'll be there before long too. And Jesus is about to come, and nobody wants to hear it. Churches are closing down their services on Sunday night and Wednesday night. It's crazy. I didn't think the falling away could be so drastic. But Jesus said the falling away must come first. That's in 2 Thessalonians. The falling away must come first. Well, it's here. I mean, it's already come. So now we're just waiting for he that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. You understand that? He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Let me go to that to conclude here. You know what? I've really enjoyed bringing you all of this. And I don't know whether you're going to get right with God or whether you're going to play the part of a fool. If you don't get right with God now, you're playing the part of a fool, friend. I'm here to tell you. If you don't go to God's house tomorrow, I feel sorry for you. Your mind just isn't clicking. And I'm praying for that conviction that sinners will be smitten before the conviction of God. And they will begin to repent and cry out to God for mercy. Crying out to God for mercy. You know, it's going to be a late hour. It really is, and I love you listening today, and I pray that you'll call and get this booklet. I know many say to me, don't want to miss nothing you're saying. I want to get it. Well, the mystery, listen to this, 2 Thessalonians 2:7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Already. That mystery of iniquity is the Antichrist. Already at work. Already doing his dark deeds. You see him everywhere. I hear him in the music. I hear him in what's going on in churches. I see him in these rock and roll churches. I see him in these sinner-friendly churches. Sinner-friendly. You know, we all are sinner-friendly. I'm friendly to any sinner. I want to win the lost as much as anybody could. But it's no use getting them in a church that does nothing but condone their lifestyle of sin and doesn't lead them to the cross. And no profit in that. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who letteth will let. Only he who letteth. Who's that? That's restrainer. Only he who restraineth will quit restraining. See, the Holy Ghost in the bride, the Holy Ghost in the true church, the Holy Ghost in sanctified, Holy Ghost-filled people is the restraining power that's holding the devil at bay. He'd take over this world tomorrow if he could. He'd turn his Antichrist loose tomorrow if he could. He'd turn his false prophet loose tomorrow if he could. He's ready. I mean, he wants to take over this whole thing. He wants to rule this world more than he can even think. I'm promising you. And the hour is at us. It's right at the door. And the coming of the Lord is at hand. And I want you to know I'm ready to go. Are you ready to go? Are you ready to leave out of here and go to heaven? If you aren't, you need to get ready. Now, Father, I come to you with all of my radio audience all over the globe. I plead the blood, Father, before you for them. For them, I pray for conviction of sinners. I pray that you'll get a hold of every sinner listening to me right now. Let the sense of the call of God overwhelm them. Let them realize it is later than they ever imagined, and the coming of the Lord is at the door. Let them feel that, Lord, and know how close we are. I pray for it right now. I pray for it right now, all over the globe. Men and women falling under conviction. Men and women falling under conviction. I beg of you, come to church tomorrow and get your heart right with God. You can't come here. Go somewhere where there's an old-fashioned preacher, where they believe the Bible, where they believe in the pre-trib rapture, and get ready because it's later than you think. We are at the door, my friend. We are at the door, and I'm weeping for you. Oh, I'm crying out for you. I care about you. I love you. I want you saved. You can trust the Lord. I'm telling you, you can trust the Lord. Oh, what a day. Well, I've had a good program with you. I want you to come to church tomorrow. I'm preaching. I want you to hear this. I'm preaching on when we see the Father's face. When we see the Father's face. Wow, what a day. When we see the Father's face. I love you. I'm praying for you. Don't you keep putting this off. Now call now and let my secretary send this to you. I want every one of you to have this booklet. Please, please call it. Get it and educate yourself. And get in your Bible and get ready for the coming of the Lord. Well, I almost done something wrong there. I do that sometimes. All right, let's go here. Praise the Lord. Jesus is coming and I'm leaving.
We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. We bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you the sacrifices of thanksgiving. And we offer up to you grace into the house of the Lord. And we offer up to you a sacrifice as a thanksgiving. And we offer up to you a sacrifice.
Oh, hallelujah. Oh, come.